Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Pleasure to have you here. Also a pleasure to continue our exclusive series of thought-provoking, insightful, and empowering conversations with noted business coach Christine Rose, well-regarded by us and by our listeners, a Forbes Coaches Council member listed as one of the top 15 women business coaches for the year of 2022, named Top Business Coach of the Year 2019, keynote speaker with frequent media appearances, recognized with the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from the Office of the President of the United States. She's further achieved rank as a best-selling author and is distinguished internationally as a business and executive coach specializing in coaching the CEOs and leadership teams of small to mid-market companies with revenues at the $1 million mark and above. She holds certifications including Certified Value Builder TM Advisor and Certified Psychological Safety Coach, known for supporting companies in their efforts to form a more equitable culture for women and individuals of differing backgrounds and lifestyles. Her assets, she really takes the time, and that's what's important. One of the most precious resources for many leaders is time. An invitation-only community is growing, starting with 100 founding members, which we've mentioned, and listeners are going to learn how to get involved, how to apply for one of those coveted positions. And we've had an opportunity to talk about so many incredible things. I encourage you to go back in the archives to hear the previous episodes. It is my pleasure to welcome Christine Rose back as we continue our series together here exclusively on Close Up Radio. Christine, welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and hope your day is going well.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's great to be with you. Yes, it is beautiful here in the Pacific. Beautiful.
Yes, sunshine. It's same thing here. Would you believe here on the East Coast and the Northeast, it's 60 degrees and sunny, and it's February?
Wow.
It's unheard of.
Wow.
60 degrees and sunny in February. I tell you, we're doing well on each of these coasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was saying that we should have our beginning of the conversation, maybe Tina Turner singing What's Love Got to Do with It, because on this episode, the day after, people still may be basking in the glow of Valentine's Day, our topic is what does love have to do with business? And with yesterday being Valentine's Day, a day devoted to love, when it comes to starting or running a business, really, as Tina Turner sang, what's love got to do with it?
Well, Tim, I may shock some people by saying this, but I honestly believe that love has everything to do with business. And in fact, love is the whole point. It's the whole thing. Jim, you know, for those people who had a really great Valentine's dinner, I happened to be able to go visit my daughter who was working at Ivor Salmon House in Seattle, and their kitchen was just full of people who were focused, devoted, dedicated to their craft, having a good time together. And they put out probably the best dinner I have had in years. And they're not paying me to say this, but you could feel the love in the food. It was amazing. And, you know, the ancient Greeks had many words for love. We just have love in English, right? But when it comes to business, and I'm, you know, talking about this topic, I'm not talking about eros, which is like the sexual desire, physical love. I'm not talking about ludus, which is like playing the game, not looking for commitment, kind of playful love. I'm not, definitely not talking about mania, which is that excessive love that gets you to like obsession and stalking and that kind of thing. We're not talking about philousia, which is self-esteem, although there's certainly a place for that at work, and business owners want to hire people who've got that solid self-esteem. We're not talking about storge, which is the love that you have for your family members, like I have for my grandson, just that natural kind of family kind of love. But Jim, I do think in business it's really smart to think about philia. You think about, you know, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia is named from that word about friendship, because employees do need to feel that they have a support system at work, and it's so much easier to work with people who are working with friends. And that's what I saw when I was at the Ivers looking in the kitchen, like, these people are having a good time together. It's also really helpful to think in terms of pragma, which is the kind of longstanding love that's about making compromises to keep the relationship working over time, because that's what employers and employees do. They compromise and they make a working relationship mutually beneficial. And it's especially helpful, and the word I love that the Greeks use that I think employers need to be thinking about is agape, which is unconditional sacrificial love, the kind of love that allows heroes to sacrifice themselves to serve strangers that they've never met. And it's the kind of love that owners have for their employees and for the community and even for their customers. That is going to sustain their business. And I want to pull an example out that I just read about, Jim. I was reading about Chick-fil-A, and maybe they don't need it if it's 60 degrees in New York. I don't know. But they generally, at this time of the year, it's pretty cold there. And they listened in, and they kind of did some listening on what was needed in the community. Are you with me, Jim?
Yeah, we're here.
I had something funny going on with my phone. So what they did was they're opening up this limited time space for New York City delivery drivers, and they didn't pay me to talk about this, but they have this place called the Break Room, and it was created to provide a break for cities' food service delivery drivers, any food service delivery driver, not only Chick-fil-A's, but anyone. And they put this space in Third Avenue, I think it's Third Avenue, 1477 Third Avenue, and they're opening it up tomorrow through April 13th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and they put in bathrooms, phone charger stations, privacy places, very comfortable seats, free Wi-Fi, beverages, and I guess winter in New York City is pretty harsh generally. And those that deliver food by, maybe they have to go home between those hours of afternoon, like after the lunch break. And so what they did at Chick-fil-A is they created this spot, and they're spending money to make sure that these people have a safe place to rest. They said the reason why they were doing it is they just wanted to thank these people for being on the front lines and recognize them for the work they do. And they're spending money that they may not get back. Now, I don't know how much it would cost for them to have an ad on this show, but to me, doing this without recognition, you know, very little, and not really, it's more just about serving the community. That's agape kind of love. So love is really about how you treat people, Jim. Wouldn't you agree?
It really is. Absolutely. That's a foundation to it all. And that, you know, can incorporate kindness, caring, empathy, respect, loyalty, so many different things within that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you see employees as just like a means to an end, right? They're just tools, right? Instead of seeing them as the valuable people that they are in their own right. You got no love, because love is not primarily selfish. It's not about the owner or the CEO or just the leadership teams. It's really about how you care about other people and how you live out that care in your business. So when you own a business or you're a leader in a company, how you treat people matters incredibly. And in fact, it's what defines your company culture. So corporate culture may be intentional or it may be accidental, but every company has a culture. And this is referring to the values, the beliefs, the behaviors that determine how your employees and management interact, perform, and handle business together. You know, that's culture. Have you heard from people, Jim, about employees staying or leaving because of culture?
Yes, a lot. And sometimes it's maybe just a lack of respect, lack of loyalty, lack of being noticed, and just work with no appreciation happening. And I'm hearing that a lot, actually, from people.
Yeah, so a study recently done found that beyond the paychecks and the benefits, employees value companies that align with their personal interests and their values, and they value employers who care about what they need and who take time to figure that out and who share cares with them. So they share the company's care, and the company shares their care. And the things that they stay for are stability, meaningful work, a place they can live out their passion and do the kind of work in the field or industry that they're passionate about. They care about a strong support system. They care about a chance to participate and contribute to the company's growth. And they're looking for opportunities for personal career growth. These are things that come out of love. If the owner and the leadership don't care about the employees, bottom line is they're going to start losing money via revolving door if they're not already losing it. They can't retain employees if they don't care. Because why should employees care about their company if they don't care about them? So, it really does matter.
It does on so many levels, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I know you coach leaders on business culture. What are some of the things a leader can then do to make the culture more warm and inviting and open?
So let me start to answer that by saying, Jim, there's a lot more to culture than how warm and inviting it is and how open, even though those are really worthy things to shoot for. And owners and leaders can start by asking employees, what is it that you need? Leaders also need to be self-aware, because without saying a word, they set the example every day about what they want the culture to be, because they're preaching by their practices. Everybody knows those leaders who, you know, they're not leading with care or with love because they don't care, and it shows across their body language how they communicate when they stop, when they listen. Leaders also need to communicate with every employee from day one, what's the mission, vision, values, and practices that we have here. Like the way we do things around here, that's culture. And they need to keep on having those conversations regularly. And they need to be checking in and asking, how are we doing? Living up to what we say is important to us. And leaders that want this culture that supports employees and the company's goals are going to make sure that it's inclusive, that it offers a safe place to learn, that they will trust employees to contribute without micromanaging, and they're going to make it safe for employees at all levels to ask questions and challenge the status quo. So a great culture isn't just about love for employees, about making the employees feel good. It's also about agreeing as a team to share responsibilities together, to deliver on promises to your customers together, and being accountable to one another to keep those promises, which, you know, requires accountability. So all those are important in a culture.
It's important for people to realize that too, and it's essential for things to run smoothly. How does a business owner sort of reconcile love and accountability? humility?
That's a great question, Jim.
Yeah.
Love without accountability isn't really love, is it? Because
no.
The kind of love we're talking about, right, it actually requires making commitments and keeping them. So think about relationships where somebody says, I love you, makes commitments and breaks them all the time. you got to have both love and accountability, like when you're raising a teenager. Unconditional love meets unconditional accountability. You got to have it all, right? And that said, it's really important for leaders to accept the reality that we're living in a fallen world and perfection is not always possible, even though we do all we can to strive for it. So there's always going to be breaks in the flow that cause people to get off track, maybe on delivering on a promise that they have. So they're just part of life and part of business. And so keeping accountable, knowing that these breakdowns are going to happen, means that you proactively manage these promises together to minimize the breakdowns in advance and to minimize the downtime or lost time as a result and to minimize the impact on the team and on the customers. So accountability there with love, committee meeting, making sure everybody shows up on time for those regularly. Or it may look like not only having procedure manuals or videos for standard operating procedures, but making sure people have time to ask questions and letting them know there's no stupid questions so they really get what it is they're supposed to be doing. Accountability in the process of delivering on a promise to a customer may look something like regular team check-ins, whether those are virtual or in person, or whether they're asynchronous, where team members are reporting in advance on a shared tool how they're doing on keeping their promises, whether they're using, you know, red, yellow, or green flags, where green means we're on track, yellow means we're off track and I don't need help to get back on track, and red means there's a breakdown and I need help to get back on track. If the leader's honoring those yellow and red flags by inviting the team to support those players that need help instead of chewing out the people who need help in front of everybody else, right? So accountability after a breakdown may look like, let's have a winning and learning meeting. If we didn't win, what did we learn? Because if we're learning, we can still move towards winning. And I love seeing the results of, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles coach talking about, hey, you know, we're either learning or we're winning. So we're always winning, you know, one or the other. And the leader has to model unconditional love and unconditional accountability in all of those.
Yes, absolutely, in every which way. You know, then that makes me think of how can a business owner then model the love they intend to offer their teams, clients, and community? How can they model that?
This is the meat of it,
yeah.
Right? This is the most important part, because
yeah.
You could talk about this, but if you're not living it, then it's not going to be received. They're not going to get it. You know, the people in the kitchen at the Ivers, they were living it, and they could, you know, they were living it out. So some of the principles to consider, which I'm going to share, come out of a famous letter written by a guy named Paul to a bunch of ancient Greek people in a city called Corinth, in which, by the way, was totally destroyed by an earthquake. So we're going back to the ancient Greeks again. And I'm cherry picking here, but the book containing this letter has been on the bestseller list for literally generations. So first of all, remember that love is not self-centered. The leader, what questions will you be asking to understand the needs of your teams, your clients, and your community? And when you ask questions, are you listening to hear what you want to hear, or are you listening to hear what they're telling you? Fred DeLuca, owner of Subway, listened to franchisees about what they needed to make owning a Subway easier. And every time they tweaked something, it came at the expense of profitability. But he listened not only with an ear to hear what would help him be more profitable, but what would help them and ultimately make it easier for people to own Subway franchises. So what are you listening for? And are you, you know, is it self-centered or is it other-centered? And secondly, you want to show up as your authentic self and make space for your team to show up as who they are and trust them to be someone that you, you know, trust them and then be the person that they can trust, because, you know, there's no love without trust. So you got to develop these trusting relationships, and it means you got to get outside of your office and, you know, meet people and know who they are. And the third thing I want to say is remember that love is kind. So what kind of ways do you express genuine kindness at work? Through your coaching? What kind of encouragement do you offer people? You know, when you're passing somebody in the hall, do you meet eyes and smile, or is your head buried in your paper? Because they're seeing how you show up. And are you showing up all about yourself, or are you showing up to be there to be kind to other people? And gratitude, you know, how do you express gratitude? Does it only come on a bonus, or does it only come on a holiday, or are there daily, hourly, minute by minute kind of ways that you express gratitude and encouragement? And the thing about kindness, Jim, is you can't fake it. It's either real or it's not real, but people can read right through fake kindness. It just doesn't work.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can't fake kindness, so you got to really be kind. The fourth thing that I want to say, if you want to model this love and offer this, in your, whether it's teams, clients, or community, is love is not arrogant or rude. So, you know, the feedback sandwich where you have kindness, scathing criticism, and kindness, you know, that's hard to eat. And so pay attention as a leader to what's in your heart. And remember that when you are speaking, what comes out or writing, your words need to be reflecting this heart that you have to build every person up through whatever feedback you give them. And so feedback has to be, you know, real, but it also has to be kind and with a heart towards building people up. And, you know, kind of along the same vein there, number five is love rejoices in the truth. And sometimes that means that there needs to be some feedback that's necessary truth, because it's painful, right? But if we got a team member who fails, then we need to ask them, where did we let you down? Because, you know, did we have an error in communication? Did we have a training failure? Was there a teamwork failure? Was there failure elsewhere? Because before I'm going to, you know, get in front of somebody's face and give them feedback, I'm going to receive feedback first, so that when I do offer correction as a leader, I'm going to do that respectfully in private. And I'm going to be doing that with a what can we learn here so that we all can win, because I care about you as an employee. I care about you as a team member. You're not a problem to me. You're a person to me, and we have a problem together to address. And recognition, we want to shout that from the rooftop, so go ahead and do that in public. But we're going to rejoice in the truth and share necessary feedback quickly and respectfully. And I think the bottom line is it's always important for leaders to go back to the first point about love is not about yourself. So we don't always know what other people are going through. We don't know what they've been through. We don't have all their stories. And it's how we see the world. You know, we all have stories, right? And it's, we see through the eyes of our stories. And if we're leading people, we don't know. They've been through what they're going through. But if we truly care about them and we love, it's not about us. It's about being of service, and it's about helping people grow. And it will make us a lot more patient. So those are some things. I guess a final note on that is leaders who want to model love better be receiving it and be filling themselves up with it so that they're giving from an overflow. So you're taking care of yourself and you're focused on giving and receiving healthy relational love in your other relationships outside of work. So you're not like sponge for everybody else's love that they're going to give you at work, right? You have to have like a full picture to be able to give from overflowing instead of an empty cup that's like you're trying to fill up. Care of yourself. And, you know, if you need support, get it, because we're all works in progress. We're not finished. We're all on a journey. Some of the top CEOs in history and even recent history, like Google's Eric Schmidt and Microsoft Bill Gates, have said everyone needs a coach. So get some help. Don't try to do it all alone. Those are some things I would say about how to show up modeling love.
Incredible ways you have all expertly laid out in a real and authentic and approachable way. If a CEO would love to connect with you and reach out, what would you say, Christine, is the best way for them to do that?
I really encourage CEOs to check out CEOXL, www.ceoaccel.com, and connect with me. We are growing a community where we are wanting to be leaders who model this kind of love in our businesses, with our employees, to our customers, to our communities, and learning together and from each other. And that's a great place to reach us. You can also find me at www.coachchristinerose.com.
That's terrific. Again, another knock it out of the park episode for our audience, filled with incredible information on so many different levels. And thanks for sharing that, as now we understand what love does have to do with business, not something that maybe people have thought about, or maybe they have but just didn't know how to approach it. So you've shared your expertise in a way that, again, people can then take right to the bank and start applying to their culture as we speak. Looking forward to next week as well. February 22nd, you'll be with us at the same time. And that topic is going to be Grounded Leaders Get Results. Really looking forward to that as well. Such an amazing series of conversations. Folks can go back in the archives and follow the trail of incredible episodes. Christine, thanks once again for joining us here on Close Up Radio. Always insightful and engaging and conversational. And love chatting with you on the program. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. And everybody, I encourage you to go to the website, CoachChristineRose.com. Good place to start and make connection with this extraordinary person who, again, absolutely lives and breathes and loves what she does. Talking about love, she loves her work. And it's easy to see and hear. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time for Lex Time. Stay right there. We'll be back in just a few minutes with another great guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.